Our first reading is from Romans 12, verses 3 to 8, and that can be found on page 803 of the Church Bibles. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, through many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Our second reading is from John 15, verses 1 to 17, and it can be found on page 764 of the Church Bibles. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other.
Thanks, Lily, and good morning, everyone. Great to be with you this morning. My name is Mark, if we haven't met. My guess is most of us have probably got quite a few different memberships that we're part of, and my second guess is that most of those memberships, most of the time, make very little difference to our lives. So the experience of being a member is something that we do something to earn that membership, which is usually paying a whole lot of money. And from there, I'm a consumer, basically. So for me, being a member of ING Bank, Anytime Fitness, Tea Tree Gully Library, the RAA, right now, it's making zero difference to my life right now, unless I feel like doing a workout or borrowing some books on the way home, or if I can't do that because my car engine isn't starting. Basically, it's on my terms. It's on my terms. Nothing is demanded of me. So when I was a member of the zoo wouldn't phone me up every few weeks to make sure that I was coming along to the zoo often enough to get value for my membership. But the Bible calls us to a membership of a very different kind, one that is at the heart of this topic that we've been looking at the last few weeks, called union with Christ. So this morning we're going to be thinking about the experience of being united to Jesus. What practical difference that makes in our lives. We've seen a little bit of this over the last couple of weeks. So we've seen how our communion with God, so our experience of God, how close we feel with Him, which is constantly changing, how that is grounded in something that's unchanging, which is our union with Christ, that I'm in Jesus and Jesus is in me. We've heard about how we have every spiritual blessing in Christ by being united to Jesus. We've heard about the new identity and the new way of life that we have in Christ. And what we're going to do today, we're going to look at three pictures that the Bible gives us to help us to understand and experience our union with Christ. So we're going to be thinking about life as a branch, a body part, and a bride. That's what we're going to be looking at this morning. So firstly, a branch. Now, if you've got a Bible open in front of you, it'd be great to keep it open to John chapter 15, that one of those passages that we read this morning. And this is Jesus speaking with his disciples. In a few hours' time, Jesus is going to be betrayed and arrested and killed. And he says to them there in verse 1, "I am the true vine." Which seems like a slightly odd thing to just say out of the blue. And until you realize that in the Old Testament, God referred to his people, the nation of Israel, as a vine or as a vineyard. But his people had failed to produce the fruit that God had expected of them. They hadn't lived the right way. And so when Jesus comes along and says, "I am the true vine," what he's saying is that I am what Israel failed to be. The point he's making is that we can be part of God's true people by being joined to him, being the branches who are connected to the true vine. Look in verse 4 how Jesus describes this to his disciples. He tells them, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." So there's both a requirement and an expectation here. In fact, there are two expectations we'll see in a moment. But the requirement is that we remain in Jesus. The expectation is that we'll bear fruit. So what does it look like to remain in Jesus? Well, look there at verse 10. We see that it's about listening to Jesus. It's about keeping his commands. Being united to Jesus. It's not something that we earn ourselves. We don't earn it by keeping his commands, but it's not passive either. We actively remain in Jesus as we keep his commands, as we hold to his words. So unlike most memberships that we probably have, which we earn our way to and then we just keep the member card tucked away in our wallet until we need it, we don't earn our way to Jesus. And we don't just keep him tucked away out of sight. We actively, intentionally remain in him. We build our lives on him. And if we remain in Jesus, we will bear fruit. Lots of fruit, in fact. Have a look there at verse 5. Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit." Which raises the question, doesn't it? What is the fruit that Jesus is actually talking about here? And we saw a bit of this in the All Ages spot before. So verse 8, we see that by bearing fruit, we glorify the Father, we glorify God. And also in verse 16 there, that the fruit that we bear is fruit that will last. And so bearing fruit, it's about God being glorified in lasting ways in our lives through Jesus' character being reflected in our lives, but also how God uses us to make and grow other disciples of Jesus. It's about the gospel impact that we have on other people around us. And Jesus reminds us there at the end of verse 5 that we don't do this on our own. We don't do it on our own. Look with me there at the end of verse 5. Apart from me, he says, you can do nothing. Nothing. The only way that we can bring glory to God in our own lives and the lives of other people is by remaining in Jesus. Being connected to him, united with him. We saw in the All Ages spot, branches don't produce fruit, do they? We had some very optimistic kids who thought they could, but branches, they don't produce fruit. They bear fruit because they're connected to a source of life and power beyond themselves. Now, so you take a branch off a tree and it's not going to grow any fruit, is it? So if and only if we remain in Jesus, we will bear much fruit. We'll bring God glory. Can you see here? Jesus empowers us to do what Israel had been unable to do. What nobody is able to do without him. But you also might have noticed there's something else that we should expect as well. You might have picked up on it there in verse 2. So he, the Father, cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. I'm not much of a gardener, but I know that pruning back the branches of a tree, if you do it right, it actually makes the tree grow even more, produce even more fruit than before. Even though it looks like what you're doing is killing the tree, it looks like you're hurting the tree, but it's actually helping it to grow. And Jesus is saying here that God will prune us. He will bring painful, difficult circumstances in our lives and he'll use them to grow us, to make us even more fruitful. And so a life united to Jesus will be fruitful, but it won't always be easy. And perhaps as you look back on your life, you can see ways that God has done that he's pruned you in ways that have been deeply painful at the time, but they've enabled you to grow. So that's what it means to be a branch. What about a body part? Well, that brings us to the reading that we had there from Romans chapter 12. And Paul, who writes that letter, he warns us not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought, because, verse 4, just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So to be in Christ is to be part of his body. It's a shared identity that we have. As we come to Jesus, we come to him together. We're united not just to Jesus, but to one another as well. See, up until now, as we've explored this idea of union with Christ, we could have thought about it in a very individualistic kind of a way. It's about me and Jesus. It's about me and God. It's about my identity, my purpose, my hope. But the image of the body here shows us that who I am in Christ is tied up with who all of us are in Christ. This idea of us being a body and each member belonging to the others, we see it not just in the Romans reading that we had, but in Ephesians and 1 Corinthians as well, other letters that Paul writes in the Bible. And we also see the same point being made in other places where we're described as a building. So in our community groups last week, we read from Ephesians chapter 2. We saw how in Jesus we're being built together to become a dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. Similar idea in 1 Peter as well. We're like stones being built together into a spiritual house. So in Jesus, we're not just isolated individuals. We collectively form a building or a body. Now again, with most memberships, we're consumers. We pay the annual fees, we put the sticker on the car and we get on with life. But with Jesus, it's a membership that defines us. And there are three significant implications of this for us. That a life of being united to Jesus, one of his body parts, is a life of gathering, growing, and giving. Gathering, growing, and giving. So we gather together as members of his body. It's what we're doing right now. Church, it's not just a nice thing to come along to when it's convenient, but the church is the most concrete expression of our union with Christ. Because we're drawing near to Jesus and we're drawing near to each other as we do it. I realize for many of us this would be very real. Imagine if parts of your body only worked some of the time. So one of your arms, one of your eyes, one of your kidneys, they just kind of worked sometimes and then stopped working when they didn't feel like it. The impact that would have on the rest of your body and all of your life. That's what it's like for church, for the representation of Jesus' body that we have here. That's what it's like for us if gathering together isn't something that we value and prioritize. But it's more than just being physically present in a building together. We grow together. We see that as well in Ephesians, that speaking the truth in love, we grow together to become the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. And from him, the whole body grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And so we grow together in love to be like Jesus. Jesus is the head. He's the one who shapes who we are and who we're becoming. And how do we grow in him? Well, we grow as each part does its work. Speaking the truth in love, speaking the truths of God's word to each other in the context of loving relationships with each other. That's how we grow. So we gather, we grow, and we give as well. Notice in that Ephesians passage that we just read that the growth happens as each part does its work. Now, each part of the body has a part to play as we grow together. We see this idea in 1 Corinthians as well, chapter 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. It's a bit like a human body has hands and feet and ears and that they all do a particular job. We, together, are one body with many parts. And each member of the body has been gifted and equipped by the Holy Spirit to build up the body together. And so we give of ourselves for the building up of the body. Coming to church just when I feel like it is convenient. It's not too costly. It's on my terms. It keeps things under my control. And I do want to be clear, like that there are times and circumstances and seasons where it's just not possible to be at church or to be at church every week for health or for other reasons. But the point is that if I'm united to Christ, then church is who I am. I need to be connected to the body that I'm part of. And so as we think about what it looks like practically to remain in Jesus, church plays a huge part in that. Because we remain in Jesus by being connected with Jesus' body, gathering, growing, and giving together. So in Jesus, we're a branch, we're a body part, and a bride as well. Which brings us to a passage that we didn't cover this in our readings, but we'll have a bit of a look at it now. It's chapter 5 of Ephesians. You might be familiar with this passage, might have heard it preached at a wedding before. It's instructions for husbands and wives. So for wives to submit to their husbands, and for husbands to love their wives just as Christ loves the church. And really the foundation for these instructions is that the marriage union between husband and wife is grounded in the marriage union between Christ and the church. So husbands, we see, are to love their wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Paul, who writes this letter, he actually quotes a verse from right back at the start of the Bible in the book of Genesis, and we'll be looking at Genesis in a few weeks' time, so we'll dig into this a bit more then. But this is right after God creates the first man and the first woman, and he says that a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Then have a listen to what he tells us in the next verse. Look what he says in the next verse. He says, this is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. So in other words, human marriage is something that God has given us to help us better understand what it means to be united to Christ. It's not like God was thinking, how would I explain this whole union in Christ thing? I guess it's kind of like a husband and a wife. Maybe I'll use that to explain. It's actually the other way around. The one flesh marriage relationship, the unity of a husband and a wife, it's a reflection of a far more wonderful union that we'll have with Jesus for eternity. It's pointing to something so much bigger. And I reckon there are two things for us to take away from this image. Two things for all of us to take away from this. Firstly, first thing to take away is assurance. Because it shows us that we're not just connected to Jesus, but we're deeply loved by him. We're chosen by him. I was away on a conference last week, and as part of that, I was pre-booked into a hotel. I had a roommate who was at the conference as well, and we were just kind of, we didn't choose to be together. We just had our names put down to each other, and so we were just kind of connected against our wills. I mean, he was a great guy, and Andy, if you listen to this, it was great spending the week with you, but it wasn't really any personal choice that went behind it. But that's very different to my marriage, which is something that Alicia and I have chosen. We've intentionally chosen to be together. If our relationship with Jesus is a marriage relationship, then what's his becomes ours, and what's ours becomes his. And that is a very good deal for us, right? Because Jesus, as our bridegroom, he takes our sin and our judgment, and he gives us his righteousness. He gives us his perfect, beloved status with God. There's nothing that's his that's not ours. There's nothing that's ours that's not his. So we can have assurance. And we can have anticipation as well. The thought of marriage, it's going to land differently with all of us here. Maybe you've been hurt by a marriage that hasn't gone according to plan. Maybe it was your marriage, maybe your parents' marriage. Maybe you'd love to be married, but you're not. Maybe you're in a strong and healthy marriage, but you know, there are still those challenges, those tensions, those disappointments. For all of us, if we're in Jesus, there is a perfect marriage to come. one that we can fix our eyes on right now. In fact, the Bible actually finishes by describing heaven and eternity as a wedding, where the new city of Jerusalem comes down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband, Jesus. I went to a wedding reception a couple of years ago, and I was walking into the reception, sort of looking at that big board, trying to work out what table I was sitting at, all that kind of thing. And then I ran into the father of the groom, who I knew a little bit, and first thing he said to me, he saw me there, and he walks up to me and he goes, "Oh, you're lucky to be here. You don't know how close you were to getting cut off the guest list." And then he just walked off and probably had another friendly compliment to make to someone else. Now, I knew him well enough that it was a bit funny, but it kind of ruined the night, to be honest. Because I was sitting there feeling like I didn't quite belong there. Like, oh boy, okay, I guess they kind of wanted me here, but they wouldn't really have cared if I... Oh, okay. In that final wedding, that's not going to be us. We're not going to be the last minute guests. We're not going to be the guests that kind of just had to be there to make up the numbers. We're not even going to be the first guests who are invited. Together, we'll be the bride. We'll be walking down the aisle. Which I realize for the fellas here, that's a bit of a kind of a rearrangement in your minds to make a little bit, but we'll be the ones beautifully prepared for eternity with Jesus. That anticipation of marriage or the desire to be married, it's a powerful thing, and it should be. And that's the Christian life. Because right now we're engaged to Christ. But one day we'll be perfectly united with him, together, forever. So human marriage and all of those emotions that it evokes in us, it points us to eternity. So a branch, a body part, and a bride. I wonder, which of those three do you need to reflect on the most this coming week? Maybe you want to live a fruitful life that glorifies God, but you find yourself trying to do it in your strength. And you know that you need to draw near to Jesus and to fix your eyes on him and to depend on him. And perhaps to trust God in those seasons of pruning and pain. Maybe you realize that you need to lean more into being part of church, living not just as an isolated follower of Jesus, but as a member of Christ's body, gathering together with his people, giving of yourself to see yourself and others grow. Or maybe you're dutifully living for Jesus right now, but without the joyful anticipation of what's to come. And you know that you need to set your sights on that final day, that promised, joyful, unending wedding day, when our union with Christ will finally be fulfilled. Let's pray. Lord God, we give you great thanks that being united with Jesus, it's not a membership where we pay and we consume and we forget. But it's one that we could never earn for ourselves. And it's one that shapes every part of our lives. As we reflect on what we've covered these 3 weeks and what we've heard this morning in your word, please help us to actively remain in Jesus, that we would bear much fruit for your glory. Please help us to live as members of Christ's body, that we would be gathering, we would be growing, and we would be giving of ourselves. And please help us to joyfully anticipate and live in light of the eternal marriage to come. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.